So Easter was a week ago for us, but in the reading that we're about to hear from the gospel, Jesus rose just maybe 12, 16 hours ago. So this is happening the evening of Easter day. His disciples really haven't even had time to process what has happened. So let's listen to what happened that evening as recorded in John chapter 20. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw that the Lord, Jesus, when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. So I send you," hang on just a sec, this is weird stuff. You know, my tablet oftentimes just like goes out like that, and now it's just like jumping ahead. So hang on just a sec. Might help if I read what it said. Let's try again. First appearance, first showing up to talk to his disciples, he says, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he'd said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." And Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." A word of God that is still speaking. Thanks be to God. So I turned on the news this last week, and these were just some of the headlines that I read. Seven World Central Kitchen volunteers killed in an Israeli bomb strike. Over 10 million displaced Sudanese due to the war that has devastated that country for the past year. And the parents of school shooter Ethan Crumbly facing sentencing for allowing their 16-year-old son to have a gun and ignoring signs of his spiraling mental health crisis. I read those headlines, and it just reminds me that every year I have to ask myself why I believe Easter is relevant. Why do I come back here every year and lead Easter worship with "Christ is risen"? Easter is supposed to be that moment in time where everything changes. Jesus may not have come to overthrow political powers and create a new world order, but we still believe that somehow reality is different because Jesus lived, died, and rose. But articulating that difference is hard when you turn on the news and you read headlines like the ones I just shared. So I find myself at times siding with Thomas, not because he dared to ask questions, but because he was clear in what he needed. If he was to believe that Jesus rose from the dead, something that he knew was impossible, he had to see it for himself. He had to touch Jesus' wounds in his hands and feet. And I will admit that there are days when I really identify with Thomas. It's nice to have something that concrete to hang on to prove that God is at work in this world, that Jesus wasn't some flash in the pan, a charismatic guru who just stirred everyone up for one moment and then was just gone the next. But then I remind myself, you don't spend 2,000 years talking about a flash in the pan. You only spend that kind of energy if there's still something in that pan. And I think I figured it out. Those of you who have a store of Bible stories locked up in your head from all your years in Sunday school, remember the story about Jesus saving a woman caught in adultery. A bunch of Pharisees intended to stone her to death, but they were also going to use her to trick Jesus into saying something that would get him in trouble. But Jesus just looked at them, started drawing in the sand, and finally said, "Let the one who is without sin throw the first stone." She was as good as dead until that moment, until Jesus stood up for her. Remember the story of the blind man outside of Jericho who just wanted to be healed. And so when Jesus and his disciples came by, he started yelling and screaming and waving his arms and trying to get Jesus' attention. And everybody else tried to get him to shut up and just not bother Jesus. But Jesus stopped and went back to him and addressed him directly and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" Remember the story about the kids milling around Jesus and the disciples. The disciples, you might know, don't fare well in a lot of these stories. They were pushing the kids away because they just didn't want Jesus to be bothered by them. And Jesus said, "Let the kids come, because to such belong the kingdom of heaven." Think about those stories and what they tell us. To everyone else, that woman caught in adultery wasn't even worth having a name in the story. But Jesus knew her. The blind man was an inconvenience, and Jesus made time for him. And the kids, first century Roman world, kids had no value. They were just barely a step above slaves, except to Jesus. What is in that pan that still has us talking 2,000 years later is power. Power that comes when in the midst of whatever turmoil and struggles or pain or heartache you are in, power that comes when someone sees you, really sees you and cares about you and calls you by name and gives you a voice and makes space for you. What's in that pan is the power of God to see and notice. Now, you still have to deal with tyrants. You still have to deal with bullies. You still have to deal with people who think war and fear-mongering are the way to feel good about themselves. But they are never going to be able to destroy the power in that pan, the power of what is good and generous and loving, because those have their source in God. What is in that pan is a powerful piece that reminds us that in the end, evil does not win and love does not die. We live in a world that desperately needs to know that, as much as we need to be reminded of that. Because when you get hit with those headlines over and over and over, when you're dealing with pain and turmoil, when the rug gets pulled out from under you, you could get just as discouraged as everybody else and wonder, where is God in all this? But the good news is that God is here. God is present. God is present in this community of believers. And in our best moments as a community, we remind each other that evil does not win and love does not die. And we tell that story to each other. We're lucky that way. Every Sunday when we gather, we get to remind ourselves of this. And we get to encourage each other as we go out to live another week in the world. What about everybody else who doesn't have a community like this to remind them? Who will remind them that evil does not win and love does not die? And who will show them? There's this beautiful moment in the story when Jesus breathes the Holy Spirit into the disciples. They are now no longer just followers of Jesus. His Spirit now lives in them. His Spirit now fuels their life. When we talk about us being the body of Christ in the world, when we talk about Christ living in us, those aren't just words. We mean it. When we ask God's Spirit to fill us, when we are baptized, we believe that the Holy Spirit is active in that moment and that we become a part of the body of Christ, which means we get to carry on his work. We get to share that good news with others. Jesus uses the word peace to talk about what his work is. Now, in the context of the story, you might think he's just saying, don't be afraid, it's just me. But the kind of peace that Jesus brought to people throughout his life was a sort of peace that heals and reconciles. It's a kind of peace that brings the outcast and the marginalized back into the fold, that lifts up those society puts at the bottom, those who are always last, those who are despised, the poor. It's a kind of peace that invites the lion to see the lamb as a neighbor and friend, the Jew to speak to the Samaritan, and the prostitute to dine with the Pharisee. Jesus' peace invites people to experience a new way of being in the world and to experience the inbreaking of the realm of God. Imagine being an unhoused person today, someone that most people just, they don't even look down on them, they just don't even want to see them. It's like, don't look at that person, they might ask for something, just keep going. It's kind of how we treat the unhoused in our society. Imagine being that person, and then someone actually stops and talks to you as a real human being and as a friend. The kingdom of God has come near in that moment. Peacemaking looks like showing up for the Justice in Action event tomorrow and in May, joining those who are working to so that those who need it can have access to mental health resources and diversion programs and low-income housing. It looks like noticing when someone is going through a difficult time and then showing up for them. Being generous with time, talents, and money. Loving someone who's difficult to love. Saying a kind word when everybody else is saying something else. The kind of peacemaking Jesus is talking about, what it looks like is interrupting gossip when you hear it, not just walking away. Building people up, not tearing them down. Reaching out to those who've drifted away, getting to know people who are different from you. I think you get the idea. In a world that is so focused on what I want and that sees other people as a means to an end, we're invited to be different. We're invited to be Christ to someone else so that they can live with the confidence of knowing that evil does not win and love does not die. It's easy to look at the world and see so much that is wrong and hurtful and to feel helpless to do anything about it. But Easter was never about changing the world. It's about changing us so that our lives, our actions, our words become that huge neon sign that says, "The God of love is here and sees you." So live in such a way that when you walk away from somebody, they feel lighter. Live in such a way that when you listen to someone, they feel heard. Live in such a way that when you look at someone, they feel seen. Live in such a way that when you are present, others get a glimpse of the God of love. Christ is in you. Let Christ shine out from you. Amen.